This week's podcast, Parsha Shmini, and Parsha Chodesh. I'm sure it comforts everybody that Pesach is on the horizon. Mir Hashem, as we bench Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Adar and the month of Simcha goes into the onto the back burner, Mirz Hashem, we should be Zeicha, that Chodesh Nisan, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidin Ligo, in Nisan they were redeemed, and Nisan will be redeemed in the future, Mirz Hashem, that future will be this Chodesh Nisan. In this week's parasha, we read about what I find is one of the most difficult details, incidents, in the Torah, difficult to learn, difficult to understand. And it's the death of Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron. Bakriva Meish Zara, they brought an Eish Zara, strange fire. Chazal, interestingly, have many reasons that are mentioned regarding the reason it happened. And why it is that way and what it symbolizes and what makes it, what's significant about it. Does it really mean that they came in drunk? The Nesiv has a whole different pshat. So I would just like to channel my thoughts this week based on a magnificent piece from Rav Schwab that I've written about before. And based on that, and we'll sparse in some different ideas. In the aftermath of the tragedy, the Torah tells us, Vayikra Perek Tes, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zahadov Asher Tziva Hashem, Tasu, this is the thing that Hashem said that you should do. Vayera Aleichem, Kavod Hashem, and the honor of Hashem, the glory of Hashem will appear on you. So the Torah's Kohenim says, Amar lehem Moshe Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Oysa Yetzirah, that Yetzirah, haviru milibchem, remove it from your hearts, va'oz, v'yer aleichem kved Hashem, and then the kved Hashem will appear on you. The Torah's Kohenim is explaining that when the Pasuk says, Zeh HaDavar, this is what Hashem has commanded that you should do, it refers to that Yetzirah, which has to be removed from your hearts, so in order that then Hashem can appear to you. So what exactly is the Torah's Kohenim speaking about? What exactly is the Yetzirah that we have to remove from our hearts? So Rav Schwab explains so magnificently that the Yetzirah the Medrash is referring to is taking shortcuts or overlooking particular details in the performance of mitzvahs, because of an abundance of love for Hashem. As Chazal teach us, Ava mekalkelus es hashura, that Ava, love, could be mekalkelus es hashura, could corrupt the line, the straight line. Love of Hashem that's not bounded and balanced with Yerushimayim can chas v'shalom cause destruction. And Rav Schwab compares it to a mother who loves her child so intensely and hugs him so closely that chas v'shalom she can smother him to death. In that instance, Rav Schwab says, we see how an intense, unbridled love can become such a destructive force. And just as it's true in that muscle with the mother and her child, the same is true in the spiritual context. He explains that the chet of Nadav and Avihu was the strange fire that was motivated by an intense expression of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah's Kohenim on Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph, says that in their joy and rapture, when they saw the fire from Hashem, they attempted Lahoisif Ava al Ahava, to add love to love, and added their own fire. And he explains that all the reasons that Chazal give for the sin of these two gedolim, whether it's Shtuyei Yayin Nichnasu LeMikdash, whether it's that they ate or drank, whether it's that they said, when will these two, referring to Mishnah Aaron, die, and will be leading Klal Yisrael, or is, they didn't get married, whatever the Cheshbonos are, says the Torah's Kayanim, that all of them funnel back to that same concept. In fact, in discussing the Chet of Nadav and Avihu, Rav Hirsch in Vayikra Yud, Psukim Aleph through Hey, after detailing through the words of the Psukim the mistakes that Nadav and Avihu made, Rav Hirsch comments that the crux of their mistake was a Shaloi Tziva Isam, that they were not commanded to bring this fire. He says, and I quote Rav Hirsch, even if the various phases of the offering had not themselves been wrong, although we have seen they were, but let's say they were not wrong, the fact that it was not a bidden one, meaning the fact that it was not asked for, would have sufficed to make it a forbidden one. No place, I quote reversed, no place is allowed in the whole service of the offerings of the sanctuary of the Torah for subjectively doing just what you think right. Kirvas Elikim, the proximity of getting near to Hashem, is only to be found by the way of obedience, by compliance with Hashem's will and subordination to it. And then Rav Hirsch says, these words are magnificent, the pagan brings his offering in an attempt to make the God subservient to his wishes. The Jew was with his offering wishes to place himself in the service of God. By his offering, he wishes to make himself subservient to the wishes of his God. We can understand, says Rav Hirsch, I'm quoting sections, we can understand that the death of the priestly youths and their death in the very first moment of the consecration of the sanctuary of God, meaning the Mishkan, which was to be nothing else but the sanctuary of his Torah, every expression of caprice and every subjective idea of what is right and becoming. And then Rav Hirsch says, and you have to bold this in italics it, not by fresh inventions, even of God serving novices, but by carrying out that which is ordained by God as the Jewish priest to establish the authenticity of his activities. Chazal, like I said, have a number of different interpretations, explanations, differing opinions as to what Nadav and Avihu exactly did wrong. Why did they warrant such a severe divine response at such a momentous period in history? At the end of the day, no matter what they actually did, it all boils down to one concept. Whatever they did and why ever they did it, they did not do what Hashem wanted, period. We mentioned when we talked last week about the Parah Aduma, that which is the Chukas HaTorah, it represents the great paradox of Mitaris HaTmeim, and symbolizes what Hashem wants. It represents his pure, unadulterated will, not having been subject to human interpretation, not being subject to human explanation, and the paradox it presents that perplexes even the wisest of the wise, like we mentioned with Shlomo HaMelech, ensures that it remains that way forever. It serves as a permanent reminder that even though Hashem gives us plenty of leeway to think for ourselves, and he rewards us for trying to understand his intention, the bottom line is to do the simple, plain, and pure will of Hashem. It means knowing that no matter how much we think we can improve upon a situation ourselves, we should not improve anything until we know for sure that it is actually what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Along these lines, I think, that this explains another difficult component of this incident. The Medrash in Bamidbar Rabba Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf Hei indicates that Nadav and Avihu should have been punished at Har Sinai, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu delayed it in order to avoid disturbing the Simcha of Kabbalah Satayra. I've always been bothered. I mean, the conscious Pasha is not any great blitz on my part. But why did Hashem disturb the joy of the Chanukah of Mishkan? He could have done it on any other day, and neither Simcha would be disturbed. Not Kabbalah Satayra, not Chanukah of Mishkan. But maybe, with what we just explained, the answer is determined by the nature of their Aveira. This act of Nadav and Avihu was specifically punished at the time of the Chanukah HaMishkan. The Mishkan was an edifice which represented the divine response and was built as a kapara for the Chet Ego. This miscalculation and Chet of Nadav and Avihu, which, like the Ego, was a human expression supplanting the divine will, had to be dealt with so severely with such tzaddikim because it struck at the core of that which was built with the constant repetition, as the Pesukim told us in Vayakal Pekudei, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Such an edifice that was representative of the expression of the divine will, with no artistic impression, with no poetic license, such such a place like the Mishkan, built to show fealty to Hashem's will, could never contain a fire that was offered, as the Pasuk describes, as Asher Lo Tziva Isam, regardless of the joy of expression or the sincerity of motive. Nadav and Avihu were big tzaddikim. There's not even a question about it. They were big people. The ultimate lesson, though, from the death of these tzaddikim is that loyalty to Hashem is loyalty to His will. And although people have good intentions and people have a passionate, burning desire to come closer to Hashem, that passion fire is acceptable only in the framework of Torah. A person is not to allowed to bring a fire that is machtosai, his own pan, as Nadav and Avihu did. It has to come from the tzibur, and it has to be blended into the fire of the tzibur, so that it is a contained fire that illuminates rather than a raging inferno that destroys. Surely the passion and devotion that is evident of the desire to come closer to Hashem is praiseworthy, but it has to be contained and channeled within the Messiah of Sinai. Failure to do so reveals the desire to shape Hashem into your image, as Rav Hirsch indicates, rather than shaping yourself to do His will. This one, the one concept most required from a Yid, and the only way to keep the essential and core lesson of Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe foremost in the decision process, is only with hispatlus, with self-negation to the will of Hashem. The message of the Eagle, the message of the Mishkan, is the subjugation of self-interest to Hashem's interests. That's how we understand what the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Batal Ritzeinecha Mipnei Ritzeinei. For most people, this is exceedingly difficult. We're slaves to our ego. We're bombarded all the time by new isms and new approaches. People comment and blog about their new solutions to ancient difficulties. Yet, we who are chared l'dvar Hashem must use the Einei Ha'eda, the eyes of the tzibur, the Chachamim, the Gedolei Yisrael, guardians at the gate, to determine the framework for any and all innovations and precedents. It's clearly obvious that even a pure Avas Hashem can be dangerous if a person doesn't regulate his Yetzer Hara. As a person becomes more acutely developed in his Avas Hashem and feels an awareness and closeness developing it's incumbent upon him to consult with those around him, to consult with his rabbeim, to determine if his new path in Hanhaga is truly the Ratzon Hashem. It's interesting that later in the Torah we find two psukim that are nearly identical, yet there is a glaring difference that we need to examine. If you look in Devarim, Yud Aleph Chaf Beis, the pasuk says, La'avas Hashem l'keichem, to love Hashem, l'leches b'chol d'rachav, to go in all of his ways, l'daf kabay. On these words, Rashi asks, how can you cling to Hashem if he's an eish eichla, an all-consuming fire, as the pasuk says in Parshas Veschanan? So Rashi explains, l'daf kabay means we are to attach ourselves to the Talmidei Chachamim, which Hashem then considers to be as if we attached ourselves to him directly. What's incredibly vexing is that earlier in Sefer Dvarim, a parak before, parak Yud Pasuk Chaf, the Pasuk says, it's Hashem lekechatira, you should fear Hashem, uvay sidbak, and cling to him. Rashi doesn't say anything about the consuming fire. So I would like to offer an idea based on the thought of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We know that there were kings in Klal Yisrael that were tzaddikim, and while they were successful in eradicating the chatoim of Gezel and Arayis that the Gemara tells us people are drawn to, on the other hand, they were universally unsuccessful in eradicating the chet of Chutei Chutz, bringing Karbanos to Hashem outside the Beis HaMikdash. In truth, the Yetzer Hara of Shechutei Chutz was built on the desire that people had to tap into the closeness and love that is engendered when one brings the carbon. Despite the fact there was no physical pleasure that a person gained from bringing it outside the Beis HaMikdash, regardless that it actually was done at a significant final financial loss because of the cost of the animal, people desired to do it to express their closeness to Hashem. This is why Rashi says in his comment, V'chi evshel l'davik b'shechina, there the pasuk spoke of avas Hashem, the love of Hashem without boundaries that leads to an appropriate expression. Therefore, Rashi says, connect to Talmid HaChamim. They will regulate when your service is an expression of love within the appropriate confines and when it is loy tziva isam. In the pasuk that was mentioned before, there isn't a need for Rashi to mention the same thing, because there the pasuk begins with the foundation of Yiras Hashem, which guarantees staying within the regulated boundaries in all divine expressions. Perhaps this was the shortcoming of Nadav and Aviyu. They didn't consult with the Gedolei Hador, with the Rabbanim. They didn't consult with Moshe and Aaron. And as a result, they forged their own path. Although it was motivated to be an expression of their intense love for Hashem, tragically, it became a fire that was an Eish Zara, Asher Lo Tziva Isam. It's interesting that this piece from Rav Schwab mentions that the required balance between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem illuminates a concept that we mention every day in davening. We say, V'chefes Yitzrein L'shtapad Loch. Even though we just mentioned the same concept when we said, V'al Tasha Bani Yetzirahara, we said that Yetzirahara shouldn't rule over us, V'dapkenu B'Yetzirah Tov, we cling us, attach us to the Yetzer Tov, he explains that we have to subordinate to Hashem our potential, our Yetzer, that which allows us to create and innovate. Rav Shab explains that the Kayach HaYetzirah is natural and a strong component of the Teva of a human being. It influences a person in Gashmias, Ayiv Kesef LaYizba Kesef, Pasuk in Kahelas, Perikei Pasuk Tes, and in Ruchnius, Ayiv Mitzvahs, Lo Yispa Mitzvahs, a quotation from Gemara Makkos, Daf Yuda Omid Aleph. What emerges is the fundamental principle that the Yetzer Tov needs to be subordinated as much as the Yetzer Hara does. It's interesting that it is on Shabbos that we say Lefanav Navay Biyira V'Fachad, especially on Shabbos, when we are called an Am Medushnei Oynig, a nation saturated with delight. It is then that we daven to Hashem for Yirin Pachad, awe and reverence, so that we keep it in the right perspective. This also helps us understand the great and repeated exhortations that the Torah expresses at Matan Torah regarding the distance and the boundaries that were established at Har Sinai. When the Bnei Yisrael came to Har Sinai, there was an intimate closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that had never existed. Through this event, there was the danger that people would become so intoxicated by the rapture, delight, and awe of the moment that they would desire an even closer and more intimate attachment, and that the possibility existed they would trespass the boundaries to get even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest test is to experience the intimate closeness, and at the same time that you want to get even closer and closer, to hold back and to realize that the life of holiness and Kedusha comes with boundaries that must be respected and is the very essence of what it means to be a Yid. As Rav Hirsch comments at Kabbalah Satayra, the place from where the people get the Torah is completely, very specifically separated from them and raised to the realm of the extraterritorial. The people themselves were to be directed back and to be kept back within bounds by a barrier. All this to impress the fact of the superhuman origin of the Torah. Sadly, Lamaisa is something we witness in Yiddishkeit over and over. We crave an emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have to understand that it has to occur within boundaries that are clearly established. While it may be true that doing things differently resonate with you and may bring you closer, the Torah in its essence is about boundaries. Hagbel Esahar, surround the mountain, make it a gvul, make it a boundary, Viki Dashtai. That's where Kedusha comes from. In the very Dibris, related in Parshas Yisrael, it sets limits on what's considered appropriate divine service, what social boundaries are, and it leaves the determination of those boundaries in the hands of the guardians of the Torah, the Chachamim and Rabbanim, in whose care it is entrusted. Is not to be the Torah, life, Yiddishkeit, Avos Hashem, cannot be dependent on the emotional vicissitudes of any human being. It can't be changed by people who are even closest, and even Nadav and Avihu, the intended successors to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, are consumed by the very fire that they are the only ones who can access. It's an eternal lesson that if any divine service goes beyond the prescribed bounds, if it is something that falls into the category of Asher Lo Yitziva Oisam, and that very closeness that you crave, it's your service, not Hashem's service. They didn't understand the extraordinarily important lesson that no matter how close it makes you feel to Hashem, it's not your prerogative to decide what it is and how to get there. When I was growing up, I'll finish with this, I knew a number of people who were meticulous in their observance of many particular mitzvahs. They came to Shul to daven, they enjoyed learning Torah. They identified as Jews with great pride. They were great philanthropists, in particular to yeshivas and day schools. The one thing they couldn't make peace with was not being able to drive to Shul on Shabbos. As I look back over the years from a more mature vantage point, I realize that they, like many others who want to lighten or innovate, were motivated by love of Hashem. They lived too far from Shul. They were older. They may have been infirm. And they wanted to daven in Shul like they did during the week. They couldn't understand that it was an Eish Zar Asher Lo Yitziva Isam. They didn't understand that the line of demarcation is that Ava has to be accompanied by Yira. Because it's only with reverence and Yiras HaRoimimus that the Ava is a divine expression. In fact, in the tefillah of Pita Makteris that we say on Shabbos and others say daily. When we talk about the mixture of ingredients, we mention the powerful addition that honey would be, though it's not was not part of the recipe. In fact, it would have such a pleasant aroma that we say, Ein Adam Yochel Lamaid Mibnei Recha. If that's the case, and we could highlight how magnificent the Torah is, why don't we mix in honey? The answer is clear. The Torah says, Mibnei Sha Torah Amra, Ki Chol Sa'or V'chol Devash, Leisaktiru Mimenu Isha L'Hashem. It was not added because the Torah forbids all leaven and honey as burnt offerings to Hashem. What may seem to be a great idea in Avodas Hashem has to be held up to the light of Avas Shemayim with the same intensity as Yiras Shemayim. Exclusive Avas Hashem without Yira results in closeness, while Yiras Hashem provides distance and reverence. It is true if we decided halacha on the whims of emotion and touchy-feely sensory overload, experiential Yiddishkeit may bring everybody closer, but the Chachamim who are Einei Ha'eda have to be farsighted rather than nearsighted. It's particularly important in that we've seen the explosion of new enlightened approaches to Avodas Hashem. Those that innovate are motivated in many instances with good intentions, but those intentions can never be what sets the tone for Yiddishkeit. Messiah and Halacha are not laundry detergent that is advertised as new and improved. It's classic Coke. It's the original formula. We have to remember that it's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he expresses and that's given to the Chachamim of each generation to interpret. That is the only thing that matters. We have to remember that the ultimate purpose of everything we do is Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, and no matter how close you feel, Asher Lo Tziva Isam means that you have to run away from it with a 100-foot pole. Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zeicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Siyata Dishmaya, to reach out to him, to feel close to him, but always within the framework of what Yirav Afachad tells us to do in the Mirz Hashem. Those Chachamim who lead and guide us should be Zeichet to Gesundu Lange Yaren, and we should always be able to drink from their fountains of wisdom. Have a good Shabbos.